Before Micah comes, I want to share a little bit about our vacation. Cynthia and I just got back from the Deschutes, doing some whitewater rafting, and every year we have an experience. And I love water. One of my favorite things. If the Lord ever takes me home, I hope it's into water. But anyway, we were whitewater rafting, and come on up here, baby. On the last day of the trip, on Wednesday, we had going through the least violent part of the river. And there's a part of the river that flows like this and a part of the river that goes like this, and they kind of join together. And you're supposed to either go over this part or go this part. Well, we hit the seam, and it flipped our boat. And everybody went out of the raft. And so I was kind of panicking because I couldn't seem to get up. The turbulence was such that it was kind of keeping me down, even with my life jacket.
Because I was wondering if it's true.
Get up, and finally, I got to find air. And I popped up, got a breath of air, and I went back down. Then fought a little while longer, and I finally got to the surface again, and the current took me, there was a rock, the current took me to the left, everybody else went to the right, and I got over to the far bank, and I looked, and I saw four heads, but I didn't see my wife, and I'm thinking, not thinking, but I'm calling out, where is Cynthia? And so I'll let you take it from there.
I do not like the water. I like the dry, solid ground. Love the camping. Fix you any kind of food you want. But don't put me in that boat. Don't want to be there. But I have the sweetest grandsons, and they're learning to be guides. So on Wednesday, which is usually our last run, they, for the past 2 or 3 years, because I have no upper body strength and with my heart the way it is, I have to be careful. And so I can't contribute to paddling or being part of going, helping them to steer the boat. So, but they are fine with that. Well, this year we also have Grandpa and Grandma Wilson with us, Micah's mom and dad. And Briar's mom and dad. I said it'd be unfair to them if I'm just sitting and everybody else is oh no, it'd be fine. I said, well, so Nicholas asked me to go, and he just kind of said so politely. And then I agreed to go with them. And when we're at the landing getting ready to get in the raft, they put the life vest on me. And they cinch it up. And I told Brad, I said, no, this is not going to work. Because by the time Micah gets finished with me, I can't breathe. Because he's going to jerk it off my shoulders to see if something happens, if I'm going to stay in it or not. So sure enough, two or three of them made sure I was secure in this life vest. And then Micah came by. And that was sweet. There were 7 of us in the raft all together. And we're going along just fine. It had already hit one. And so Briar said, Grandma, hold on. And I'm holding on to this handle that's on the seat in front of me. And then Evelyn said, no, grab this side too. So I'm holding on to both of them. And I can see. I just had this peace. I trust my family completely. And I trust the Lord totally and completely. And so we go into this, and then all of a sudden, everything is quiet and the brightest light. And I am under the water, and it's just as bright and white and peaceful. And I just keep getting pounded and pushed down. And I don't know how long I was under the water. I have no clue. And as I'm in this most beautiful, peaceful, white place, just, and I know it's just the glory of the Lord. And as I am there, I just said, Lord, I thank you that you've got each and every one of us. You are holding us, and I know that, and I trust you. But, Lord, I just need to breathe. And so he just gave me a vision of an air pocket between the seat part that is now on the water and in between there's an air pocket. And I said, okay, that's great. And by this time, at some point, I had let go of the raft completely. But because of all the pain and soreness I have on my right side, I held on at some point. So I reached up with both hands. When the Lord showed me where both handles were, then my hands went up and immediately just grabbed them. And I pulled up and got some air. And I can hear everybody's voice around me except for hubby. I cannot hear my hubby. And I just said, Lord, you have us all in your hands, and I thank you. And then they're calling out, are you okay? You know, where's Cynthia? Grandma, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I can breathe. I just can't get out. No, be still, be still. And I said, okay. And so, and I didn't know that whenever you hit the water, you're supposed to automatically put your feet up. I don't know this because I'm not a water person, right? And so Grandma told me, she said, you have to put your feet up. And I said, okay. So I'm just holding on to this raft, and my feet are now up, and my family's discussing how to get the raft turned back over. And then I heard Micah say, no, not yet. And I still haven't heard his voice at all. And so I'm just trusting the Lord that I'm going to see him again. And I'm still in just the most peaceful place that I could possibly be. And as we get over to the bank and to the edge, and someone said, let's flip it and get her out. And Micah said, no, not yet. And he said, Mom, you be still. You be still. And when I tell you, then you come to me. And I'm thinking, I said, okay, I'll do it. And I'm thinking, I don't have any clue how to get to him, right? So he reached in. He said, now. And he reached in, and how his arm reached me where I was under that raft, I only had to be the Lord. I'm only here today because of the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient. While I'm under the raft, the Lord said, I've got you. I've got you. I felt my heart stop. I felt my heart change beat and change rhythm. And it's just amazing. But the whole time, I have been in such a state of peace, just total peace, because I know that I'm resting in the Lord. I wouldn't be here today except God still has a reason for me to be here. Our rafting trip could have turned and been a total different adventure than what it is now. But I praise God that I'm here. And our grandson, Nicholas, was our guide that day.
Wow.
And when we got
Astra's wife, she almost drowned.
And everyone got their life vests off and everything. And he came over to see if I was okay. I immediately turned to him and said, I'm going to ride that river with you again next year. And I'm looking forward to it. And we had the biggest hug and the biggest celebration, because I would not in any way not get on that river. I trust those boys and what they're learning to do. And I trust God that he guides and directs us. So I'm happy to be here with you today.
Well,
when Micah pulled me out, I said, I've heard all of your voices, but I've not heard Grandpa. And he said, it's okay, because he's down the river with Sam. And he was on the side. Nicholas, I could see Nicholas, but I couldn't see Sam and Grandpa. And whenever he told me he was with Sam, then because apparently he had to pull Sam to the side. But God brought us all back together as a family. Then we got to go spend a couple of days with Crystal, and that was fun to be able to spend with her too. So, but yeah, I did find hubby, and it was sweet too when he wrapped those big old arms around me when we got on solid ground.
The Lord is with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so finally I got enough breath to swim across the river. and get on the other side and fighting the current and things. And it was like, by the time I got over there, I was wore slam out because there were some more rapids coming up, and I knew I had to get over the river before I hit the rapids, otherwise it'd just been a life jacket holding me up. So anyway, yeah. God is so good, and he's with you in your troubles. Micah, would you come share with us, please?
So that's right. So I have to stay in between my marks here. But good morning. It's so good to be here with you guys. We have come a long way. And for some of them, it's a long way. This is the furthest they've ever been from home. What did I say? We're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in Mississippi anymore. And, man, this cool weather is just absolutely fantastic because at home... At home in the evenings, I'm telling you, it just feels like the sun is just leaning on you, and it's just so hot and so humid. Heat index of 111 to 115 in the evenings and humid, and it's just terrible. So this is a welcome break for us to be here. I know we that's right. We walked off. We got off the plane and walked out, and Brother Brad was there to pick us up. And as soon as we hit that cool Oregon air, I said, we're good. It's been fantastic. We had kind of a rough day flying. We flew up and we had some delays, but nonetheless, the Lord got us here. Everybody's safe. We all have 10 fingers and 10 toes. Everybody's all good. So we're happy about that. I've got 11 people of us all together that are here. We have Miss Amy Adcock and Brother Champ. They are husband and wife, and he is the chairman of deacons at our church. And then they have two boys, Brooks Adcock and Cal Adcock. And then we have Elliot Hall. And we have two Kayleys. Both Kayleys are absolutely sweet and fantastic, great people. Then we have JC and Marshall and Mr. Jason Higginbotham. We are from Calvary Baptist Church in Macon, Mississippi. And I'm going to throw my papers on the floor. Thank you so much. We are so happy to be here. It was about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, that I moved to Calvary Baptist Church in Macon. And we began talks of wanting to go on a mission trip and wanting to go, but things just didn't work out. It was the middle of the pandemic. You know, everybody was kind of grounded. We didn't get to go anywhere or do anything. And from what I understand, that was about the time that you guys decided that y'all wanted to start thinking about starting a school. And then this past year, we began really talking about, you know, we want to go somewhere. We have, you know, I feel like the Lord's been laying on in my heart and also on our youth committee. And so we were looking for somewhere to go, and immediately the Lord brought Brother Brad and y'all's church to my mind, and I said, you know, let me give Brother Brad a call. So I gave him a phone call, and I said, do y'all have anything that y'all want us to come do? Is there any way? He said, Brother, we'll find something for y'all to do. So we were originally planning to try to do a sports camp or something like that, but then it came up with the school, and the Lord has really just opened the door for
us
to
be able to come. You better call him up and see if they're in there.
Help you guys. This is not about us. This is not about y'all. This is about Jesus. It's about the kids that need to get a good education. So that's why we're here.
You might call up.
We're doing some painting and that sort of thing. And so this is no credit to us. This is no credit to even to your church, but it's a credit to the Father. So we are just so happy to be here. We have a good team, a good group of kids, and I'm very thankful for them. It doesn't even seem like it's been 2.5 years since me and my wife moved there.
It is
a matter of months.
Underneath that table.
We went for spring break from school and never went back to school because of COVID.
Yeah.
And
they're regular readers. Some they're
wedding
pretty up.
We got married,
some of them.
And
if there's more than one, you try it out.
21st.
You can tell by looking on the
slide
there.
To Calvary, and then pandemic had everything shut down. I began working for my father-in-law. Now I've swapped jobs, part-time at church, and working another job as well. And then here back in October, a little boy, Levi Gideon, into the world. He is,
I see you. I'm so glad to see you. I hope you're not seeing me.
Absolutely over the moon. And I'm like, y'all have to stop buying stuff for him because we're running out of room in the house. But they, you know, that doesn't help. They said, we're supposed to do that. So I kind of get vetoed there. But it's just been a lot of changes here in the past couple of years since the last time I was here with you guys. And so I'm just, again, so thankful to be here. Now,
anyway, his wife was in the water under the boat.
Things out. So I had a passage in mind that I was going to preach.
She had the light. And she says, Lord, I know you're protecting me and you're watching over me, but right now I have to breathe. And the Lord showed him a pocket of air underneath. And she was able, she says, I can't swim.
So this morning we're talking about the purpose of hardship.
Because of my heart, my weakness.
Now we're in John chapter 11. Now it's kind of fitting. Dad saying, what a friend we have in Jesus. And here in this passage, we see Jesus being a friend to Mary and Martha and Lazarus and their family.
I'm so sorry.
So it's kind of fitting how the Lord worked that out. But John chapter 11, we're going to start in verses 38 through 44. And then we're
pastor's
wife.
Are you just
but yet I'm so thankful.
I, for
to
some
be
reason,
here.
I'm
so
able
John
to
hear
your mic off, please.
38 through 44.
Oh, says, honey, I don't need to talk to you.
Again,
I know
came
I'm
to the tomb.
I know you want to live.
And a stone was lying
in the speaker.
He said, remove the stone. And Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, there's already a stench because he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe that you sent me. And after he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in cloth. And Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him go. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come to you and I thank you so much for today. Lord, again, I thank you so much for waking us up this morning and giving us another day to serve you. Lord, every breath is such a blessing and a gift. And I pray that we would use every one of them to glorify you. Lord, I pray that you would set me aside. Lord, this is not about me. This is about you. Lord, set me aside, hide me behind the cross that they will seek you and not me. Lord, I love you and I praise you. And in your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. So John wanted his readers to see how Jesus let something bad happen so that the Lord could be glorified. Now, we know that there's three types of people. There's people going into a storm, people in the middle of a storm, and people coming out of a storm, right? Always. There's either you're going into something, you're in the middle of something, or you've just come out of something. And how many of you have heard the saying that the Lord will never give you more than you can handle? You've heard that. All right, I want to tell you, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, the Lord is going to give you more than you can handle so that you have to trust in him. Because if it was something that I could handle, if something we could handle, then what do we need the Lord for? He's going to give you more than you can handle so that you have to trust in him. Because then when bad things happen and the Lord takes care of it, there's no way that we can take glory for it because there's nothing we can do. It is all about Jesus. And, you know, I want us to see that just because something bad happens in life does not mean that God does not care about you or is unconcerned. It does not mean that God does not care or is unconcerned. Now, I'm sure we've all heard the story of Lazarus. It's a pretty popular story. It's one I'm sure we've most heard before, but because you've heard it before does not necessarily mean you can't learn something new today. We're going to take a dive into the story that puts the power of God on display for all to see, and we'll see how Jesus has a purpose in waiting to answer prayers. We'll see how Jesus will meet you personally based on your needs and your nature, and how God answers prayer powerfully. This may seem kind of corny to some people, but it is the positively perfect plan that Jesus prepares for his people. The positively perfect plan that Jesus prepares for his people. So if you are a note taker, if you like to take notes, my wife, she'll be all during the sermon, she'll be over there just scribbling. She'll have 3 pages worth of notes. I'm not that great of a student. I have to sit and listen because if I'm writing, I'm not necessarily hearing what's going on. I'm a one-track mind, but she can write and do whatever. But so if you're a note taker, this would be point number one here. Jesus waits purposefully. Jesus waits purposefully. Now let's go to verses 1 through 7 in John chapter 11. Verses 1 through 7. It said, now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, and the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with her perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sister sent a message to him, Lord, the one you love is sick. Jesus loved Lazarus. He loves all of you as well. And then Jesus heard it and he said, this sickness will not end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And now Jesus loved Mary and Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Doesn't that sound kind of funny? You know, if my family or some of my friends were sick, if I heard that my dad was sick and he was in the hospital and things were not looking good, I wouldn't stay 2 more days where I was. It would be hard for me not to get a speeding ticket going to see him and visit him in the hospital, or my friends or family, anybody that I care about. It would be really hard for me to stay 2 more days. But it says that Jesus stayed, and that kind of sounds funny compared to how we think. He stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." So Mary and Martha sent word urgently to Jesus, telling him that Lazarus was sick, hoping that he would come and heal him so that he would not die. And Jesus tells us that the whole reason Lazarus was sick was to glorify God. Now, he said, "This sickness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So he tells us that's the reason that Lazarus was sick. It wasn't that Lazarus did anything wrong. It wasn't that he had done this and, you know, deserved it, or that his sisters or his family had done something. It was to glorify God. And sometimes when you're going through something, it's not because you've done something. It's not because your family has done something. It's because God is going to be glorified through it, and we have to trust him, right? Everything that God does is with a purpose, and everything that God does not do is also with a purpose. Scripture tells us that Jesus made a point to wait where he was for 2 more days. Jesus, knowing full well the situation and what was happening with Lazarus, decided to wait. Knowing that Lazarus was going to die and the sorrow that this would cause, he waited. The disciples didn't understand what was going on. Mary and Martha didn't understand what was going on, but praise the Lord, Jesus knew exactly what was going on, right? The whole time, he knew exactly what was going on. So, my mom is here, and I'm going to tell a little story about my mom. You know, my whole life, I've been made a sermon illustration, my whole life, because of my dad being a pastor. And so now I get to return the favor a little bit. No, but he'll get it one day too, so it's all right. My mom, especially when I was learning to drive, now it's not quite as bad, but when I was learning to drive, every time she rode with me, the whole ride was filled of, "Stop, don't run it in. I can't believe that." And you know that there's an imaginary brake pedal in the passenger seat, and she's over there. So a few months ago, we were in Mobile, Alabama. Now, if you've ever been to Mobile, Alabama, you'll know that people in Mobile have no idea how to drive. So we're driving down the road, and somebody in front of me decides that they're going to make an immediate left-hand turn with no signal, no brakes, no anything. They're just going to, it's like, we're going right now. And so I'm behind them, and they're going to make a left-hand turn. My mom assumes that I do not see them turning, and she begins with the gasping and the, goodness, and grabbing the door handle and stepping on the imaginary brakes that she has in the floorboard. But I was watching the situation. I was assessing the situation. I knew what was going on the whole time. I was in full control of the vehicle at all times. And I was just waiting to see if they would go ahead and get out of the way. Then I wouldn't even have to slow down or do anything. I was seeing what course of action I needed to take. But before I could ever, I mean, I guess she just thought I needed to come to an abrupt stop in the road before they turned. But I was in control of the situation the whole time, even though she thought that we were all going to die. But, you know, that's kind of the way it is with Mary and Martha here. They thought everything was coming to, they thought the whole world had ended because their brother died. But Jesus was in control of the situation the whole time. And it's the same way in your life, that when things go bad, when things don't go exactly how you planned it, when things are not exactly the way that we want them to be, maybe we start gasping and grabbing the door handle and trying to mash the emergency brake or whatever, but Jesus is in control of the situation the whole time. It's the same way with us. Sometimes when we pray and ask God for help, he doesn't always give it immediately. He waits. When we think that all hope is gone, Jesus waits. When we feel like he isn't there or doesn't care, he waits. But I can assure you that when we feel hopeless, defeated, and destroyed, Jesus cares. He's waiting with a purpose, and sometimes it's so that we will have to learn a lesson. One of the things that my dad, he's here. I say this to other people, but I guess I'll say it, he's here now. The older my dad, the older I get, the more wise I feel that my dad is. You know, you get brother, me and Brother Champ have had this conversation. The older you get, the more, man, your parents just, wow, they kind of knew what they were talking about. You know, my dad told me one time I needed to go ahead and move out while I knew everything so that I could, you know, it's like that. But my dad told me, he said, when you're going through something, he said, you need to ask, if you're in the middle of a situation, say, God, why am I here? What lesson is it that you have for me to learn? What is the purpose of me being here? And so I've had to, especially in the past several years with things going the way they have, and I'm sure that all of you have had to ask the same question, God, why are we here? What is going on? Why is our country shut down for 2.5 years? A year and a half, 2 years. Why are we shut down? God, why have I lost my job? Why is the economy the way it is? Why is gas $17 a gallon? What are we doing? God, why are we here? What is the purpose of this? And a lot of times it's because we have a lesson to learn. So I've had to ask, God, what is the lesson that you have for me to learn? Sometimes when we face difficulties in life, it's so that we will learn to trust Jesus. And how many of you have heard the old saying, again, that God would never give you more than you can handle? I guarantee you, when Lazarus died, it was more than Mary and Martha wanted to handle. It was more than they could handle. When my grandfather passed away, it was a lot more than I wanted to handle. When my Aunt Kristen passed away, all of a sudden, she passed away. She was 35 years old. It was a lot more than what we wanted to handle. But because of the grace of God, we were able to make it through that. So he'll give you more than you can handle so that you have to trust in him. Other times it's so that Christ will be glorified through an adverse situation, so that you will have a testimony to help lead others. Now, my wife, she comes from a split home. Her parents divorced when she was 2 years old, and that's a whole nother story there. But God has used that in ways that there's no way, you know, we would think that, oh, that's just a terrible situation, and it is, and it's bad that that happened, but God is still able to use it, right? My parents are still together. Y'all, how long have you been married now? 27 years. My parents have been married now. I don't know what it's like to come from a split home, a split family. I have no idea what that's like. So I can't identify with somebody who has been in that situation, but my wife can. And so God has used that and used her and her testimony to be able to witness and share with other people, right? When you go through something bad, you've gone through it, you're on the other side of it, and you're trusting Jesus and walking with him, you can turn around and look, and you can see somebody else is going through the same thing and say, you know, this is what happened to me. This is what helped me during this situation. And that's why we are called to come together as the body of the Christ, to come together and to lean on one another in times that, you know, we don't know what's going on, but maybe somebody else has. Brother Brad has experienced things that I haven't, and I've experienced things that he hasn't. And so that's why, you know, they said, you know, if we were all just a foot, then what would that be? And if we were all just an eye, then what would that be? We all have to come together and work as the body of Christ. So sometimes when we go through something, it's so that God will be glorified and so that we can help other people through the same situation, through the same need at the same time. So Jesus waits purposefully. Secondly, I want us to see that Jesus meets you personally. Now let's go to chapter 11, verses 20. Through 35, verse 20 through 35. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. And then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother wouldn't have died. And yet, even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And that's a good word. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. So she's thinking, yeah, I know he'll rise again when you return. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live again. At our church, we sing happy birthday once a month. And all of our group knows this. We sing happy birthday once a month to everybody. But we add another verse to happy birthday. It's happy birthday to you. Only one will not do, for Jesus gave me salvation. So how many of you? We have two birthdays, right? If you're a Christian, you have two birthdays. If you are born twice, you die once. But if you're born once, you die twice, right? So Jesus thought, he said, the one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live forever. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. Now, verse 28. Having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And as soon as Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. So he stayed where he was when he talked to Martha. And the Jews who were with her, in the house consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and went out. And they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to cry there. And as soon as Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Where have you put him? He asked and said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. We see the humanity of Jesus here. We see how much he cares about Mary and Martha and their situation, and how much that Jesus cares about you and your situation as well. Now, we see two different reactions to what is going on, two different responses, and two different ways that Jesus talks to Mary and to Martha, right? Jesus did not meet with both Mary and Martha at the same time. He knew each of them well and knew they were both very different from each other. Martha was a little more level-headed and was more calm and collected and had a conversation with Jesus. But Mary, on the other hand, was more emotional. And she fell at Jesus' feet and she wept bitterly. And Jesus spoke to both of them differently. And when Jesus spoke to Martha, he was reassuring to her and spoke to her matter-of-factly. He was very to the point. Do you believe that I'm in control? Yes, I do. That was how Jesus responded to her. But when Mary came, how did Jesus respond to her? He wept. So Jesus comforted and reassured both of them in two different ways because he knows that they're different. And he knows that each one of you have different needs. Each one of you are different. And he knows what you need, and he's there for you no matter what. And he's going to meet you personally where you are. He knew them personally and knew exactly what they needed at the time. So just like Mary and Martha, Jesus knows you and knows exactly what you need during difficult times. God created you. He knows exactly how many hairs you have on your head. He knows everything that you have ever done and that everything you're going to do. He knows about that one thing that you did that nobody else knows about, the one thing you'll take to your grave. He knows about the crush that you had in high school and that you never told anyone about. And he knows that you're probably wishing I would get done so you can go home and eat lunch right now. He knows all of these things. If he knows all of these things, what makes us think that he doesn't know what's best for us during troubling times? When we face difficulties, we need to lean on Jesus and trust in him because he knows exactly what we need to make it through. So he waits purposely. He meets you personally. But here's the last and final point. Jesus will raise you powerfully. Now let's go to verse 38 through 44. We're going to reread those verses. And then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Remove the stone, Jesus said. And Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, there's already been a stench because he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and says, Father, I thank you that you heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe you sent me. And after this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead came out bound hand and foot with linen strips and his face wrapped in the cloth. And Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him go. There was no doubt in anybody's mind that Lazarus was dead. Because, you know, some people, they tried to justify, oh, Jesus, this wasn't a miracle. Lazarus just wasn't, he wasn't actually dead. Maybe he was in a coma or something like that and he woke up. No, Lazarus was dead. He had been dead and in the grave for 4 days, so much so that in their hot climate, his body had already begun to decay and he was beginning to stink. So there's no doubt in anybody's mind that Lazarus was dead. There's no way that anybody could say that he was not. Martha again pointed out in their hot climate that Lazarus had begun to stink and his body was beginning to decompose. Everything that Jesus had been talking about was about to come to a head in this moment right here. Everything that happens next can only be explained as a work of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out, The Holy Spirit was put on display, and the power of Almighty God was put on display. Jesus had to call Lazarus by name, because if he didn't call Lazarus, everybody in that grave would have walked out. When the power of God began to move, life came back to the body of Lazarus. His heart began to beat again. His lungs filled with air. His joints began to loosen and his eyes opened. Lazarus was alive. And there was no other way for anyone to explain this miracle than a work of the all-powerful creator of the universe who created Lazarus and put life back in his body. There was no doubt that Lazarus was dead. And when he walked out, there was no doubt that he was alive and that Jesus had caused that to happen. No one else could take the glory for this miracle other than Jesus. Christ and Christ alone. So when you're down, when you're weak, when you're depressed, when you have anxiety, when you've lost a loved one, when you've lost your job, when your marriage is crumbled, when your home is dead and your sin and flesh, and there's Jesus calling out your name to bring life into your situation. And the only way that you'll be able to explain it when Jesus comes in your life is it was God who did this. It was not me. It was by the power of the whole holy God of the universe that brought a change in my life. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to answer your prayers in the way that you want him to every time, because we know that that's not true. I'm not saying that God is a wishing well and you can go and put whatever you want in there and God's going to make it happen. But if you pray and ask for it, and you know, he said you have not because you ask not, and when you do ask, you ask with the wrong intentions. So we have to ask with the right intentions. God, if it is your will, God, if this is what you want, God, if this is your plan, this is what I want. So we have to ask with the right intentions, which is for God to be glorified. Sometimes we pray and pray and pray for things and for situations, for people to be healed, for a lost child to come home. We pray and pray and pray for these things, and it doesn't always happen. Sometimes God's answer is no, and that's hard, because God would have been just as glorified if he'd have left Lazarus in the grave. He'd have been just as glorified. But this is how God chose to handle that situation. I remember there was a friend of mine named Andrew Moat. He's a really good friend of mine. His mom was sick for a long time with cancer. And there were so many people praying and praying and asking God to heal her. She had cancer, had a tumor sitting on her sciatic nerve. She couldn't get comfortable. She had cancer most of her life. And she was just a very sweet lady. And there was a lot of people praying and asking God to heal her. But that's not what God did. He took her home. But because of the life that she lived, many people were able to see God and his work and was able to come to Christ through her, because she was just such a wonderful lady, such a sweet lady, and God was glorified through her life. Now, would we have wanted her to be healed miraculously? Absolutely. But even though she passed away, even though those things happened, God was still glorified. Throughout life, we face circumstances that are out of our control. There's so much more than we can bear on our own. However, the Lord has a reason, and he will wait purposely to answer your prayers, and sometimes to grow us and others, and other times it's to bring glory and honor to his name. The Lord will meet you personally during those times because he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows exactly what you need during difficult times, during hard circumstances. And lastly, the Lord will raise you powerfully to life and victory for him in glory, whether that would be your situation being healed or him calling you home. So I'm going to close. I have a closing illustration. This is one my dad has used for a while, and I've always thought it was such a good illustration of something like this. There was a family of three, father, mother and a son, and the mother passed away suddenly of sickness. And first night, father and the son are at home by themselves. Little boy comes and says, "Daddy, can I sleep with you?" And he said, "Yes, son, you can sleep with me." So they're laying in the bed. It's pitch black, dark. And the little boy says, "Daddy?" "Yes, son." He said, "Are you facing towards me?" He said, "Yes, son, I am. I'm facing towards you." He said, "Okay." He drifted off to sleep. You know, then the dad got down on his knees and he prayed, said, "God," he said, "is your face towards me?" He said, "It's darker now than what it's ever been in my life. I just need to know your face is towards me." And the Holy Spirit said, "Yes, my face is towards you." Sometimes in life it's the same way. We just need that reassurance that God, your face is towards me. God, you notice, you know that what I'm suffering. You know what I'm going through. I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you. He's with you every step of the way. And he's not ever abandoned you. He's never abandoned any of his children, and he's never going to abandon you now. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if he hasn't abandoned you in the past, he's not going to start today. So I want to close with that word, that God is never going to abandon you through any circumstances, no matter what they may be. Brother Brad, I don't know how you want to close. I don't know if you want to give an invitation or what it is that you want to do, but I'll let you take it from here. Again, the Lord is with you every step of the way. And if you have any questions, cares, or concerns, as my pastor says all the time, please, you can either come see me or come see Brother Brad. I know that he is great counsel. And so don't walk out of here today if you have business to do with God. If you have something that you need to come to the altar and pray about, come to the altar and pray about it. Lay it at the feet of Jesus and leave it there. There you go, brother.
Yeah. Tremendous. Thank you very much. That really spoke to my heart, and I'm sure it did to all of you who are here. And I know some of you are going through some troubling times, some difficult times, but sometimes you need people to come along beside you and pray for you. Jesus told, I'm sure it was his disciples, release him and let him go. Sometimes we can't do it ourselves. And we can pray and we can pray and we can struggle and strive, but the body of Christ is here to lift you up, to pray for you, to help you in those difficult seasons. So we're going to give an opportunity for you to come forward for prayer. Maybe you're here today and you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to receive him. You maybe have understood today that he is a personal God, and he wants to communicate with you. He wants to be personal in your life. But the only way that can happen is if we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, turning from our sin and turning to him. So again, we're going to have an invitation. And if you need prayer for anything, then come forward. We'll pray for you. If it's for sickness, we're going to kind of, I'll just say, have you sit here until after service is over, and then we will gather some wonderful, God-filled people to come around you and pray for you, okay? So, Father, I come before you, and, Lord, I just thank you for this message that has been shared with us. Lord, I thank you for touching my heart, touching my life. I pray I never forget this message, especially during the troubling times, that I want to learn to trust you even when things don't go the way I think they ought to. Even when the world seems like it's turning upside down. Lord, teach me to trust you. Lord, I pray this for that. Pray that same prayer for this congregation. Lord, there's no greater attribute for us, I don't think, than learning to trust you, because with that comes love and other attributes. And so we give you the praise and the glory. Help us to do what you want us to do in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.